know why I'm crying. Good grief. But, you know, within this church, it's like, you guys have been our family from the time I was 9 months old. I've had sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and grandparents that have been here and watched me grow up. I remember dragging Christina to the bathroom back in that church before we built this sanctuary because I was so excited, and I showed her my new Barbie panties. you know, because you guys were my family, and you guys were safe for me. And I appreciate each and every one of you guys. I've been blessed to be a pastor's child. I was taught how to worship. I was taught how to love other people unconditionally by being a pastor's child. And I will say that you guys have had good ones. You know, I have watched my parents over the years pray for you guys. I've watched my dad, you know, leave the house because someone had a crisis or needed help or whatever. You know, he's just jumped up and done it. I've seen him jump up in the middle of the night because we left a moth in the sanctuary and it set the alarm off. And but anyway, so I'm just very grateful that I grew up the way that I did. When they built this sanctuary, one of my memories from being a pastor's child over the last lot of years was when they were building this sanctuary, you know, being a pastor's kid, I just got drug around everywhere. So wherever they went, I went as well. And so they were building the church, and I don't think I was in school yet, was I? And my mom, right back there, about where Granny was sitting, she would make me a pallet every day. And so we would bring all my junk up here, and she'd make me a pallet on the concrete floor. And I would lay there, and I'd play, and I'd color. And Wendell Hardison would bring up the little sugar wafers, the old people cookies, and he would share those with me. And anyway, so you guys have been my family, and I'm very grateful.
Oh, ours are vanilla wafers at our house. Anyway, appreciate that. How many of you that are here today were part of the church when it was the old church, before we ever built this sanctuary? If you were part of that, would you stand? I want people to see how many. Some of you have been here since the beginning. That's when it. There's more than that. Sister Frame, you were part of it. And the Gillums, and it's had a lot of people. Pat, you didn't come that quick, huh? Or did you? I thought you were over there. You just didn't want to get up. Anyway, look, that's some of the folks that are still here from the beginning. Okay, they come right towards the right before. And Brother Frame wanted to help, and him and you can be seated. Brother Frame was a great help. He played the bass guitar. He was one of the best bass guitars you'd ever hear, and very, very good at. But he couldn't hear real good sometimes, so he'd get a little frustrated. And then when we started playing the newer stuff, he got real frustrated. But anyway, he was a great guy, and I was privileged to participate in his homegoing here a year or two ago. But it's a lot different than it was when we began. And when we began this church in 1991, in December, we actually got it ready to get open, and the weather turned sour, and we couldn't start. But we started December 90, and in 91, when we actually started in January, all we had was a concrete floor, some old folding chairs, an upright piano that was out of tune, couldn't be tuned, and a pulpit. I still have the pulpit. I should have got it out today. It's right back here. I've saved it all these years. Haven't gave it. I've given almost everything else away or sold it to someone, but I've saved the pulpit. It's my first pulpit, and I still have it. But that's all we had, and my wife could play the piano. And we started out singing on that old out-of-tune thing. We finally got us a new one, a little nicer one. It had been in a fire, and we didn't know it. It wouldn't stay in tune either. And so when we finally moved over here, we bought this piano right here, this Roland electric piano. And the lady that donated some money for that, we went and bought a piano, and she jumped all over me. Said, "Why in the world did you waste your money on a piano? You already had a piano." You know, and I said, "Well, sister, because we needed a piano." "Well, I don't think you did." I said, "Well, you gave the money. You released it into the kingdom. We have spent it, and you're not getting it back." And so she got over it, and you know, I just talked to her every now and then. Sister White, she lives in Alabama now, and Sister White gave us several thousand dollars during that time to the church. And she calls me every now and then, and she'll tell me every time, "Brother Stone, I wish I'd never left your church. I wish I'd never left. I shouldn't have moved to Alabama." And that makes you feel good, you know. But today, as we celebrate, folks are going to come and say some things in just a minute. I'm going to turn this over to Melissa. And remember this. It's not about Dennis and Willene Stone or the Stone family. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ and about an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we're here, why we came here, why we stayed here, and why now that as we're leaving, we still want the Holy Spirit to move in this church and for God's blessing to be upon it. It's not about us today. It's about what God has done in and through us. And to God be the glory for it all. If there's any power, any praise, any virtue, any glory, let it be to God today. So I'm going to appreciate what you have to say, but be it known that God gets the glory. God receives the glory, okay? Melissa?
Y'all will have to just bear with us the rest of the service, okay? Because I don't know what order to go so that, you know, people can do what they're supposed to do without crying. So we'll just kind of play it by ear. But Mom asked that I would sing this song, so we're going to start with that.
Back then, pled the blood of Jesus and begged him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again. Lord, wash my sin. This is all he'd say. What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? That was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea. Forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them, so let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, quick to forgive our sin. Let him put them under the blood. Don't bring them up again. Cause he'll just say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? That was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weak this way as when I hear you say, what sin? What sin? that's as far away as the east is from the west. What's in? What's in? Love is gone the very minute you confess. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Right. I think here's what we're going to do. Sister Christina is going to come and sing. And then before she does that, Sister Dale had let you know that if anyone had anything you wanted to share, that today would be the time to do that, or this morning. So, okay. If anyone had something to share, then we wanted you to come and sit on the front row so that we're ready after she sings. So if anyone was going to have a word to speak or anything you wanted to share. I know some wrote them down for others to read, but let's quickly do that if we're going to. Anybody? That's why we're not doing it like testimony service. I'm the firstborn. I got the microphone. And if you get the nerve while someone's speaking and you want to come up and sit down and wait your turn, then just do that. If you don't got your nerves up yet, that's okay. You can come and join them later. But we're going to let Sister Christina start with her song.
I told her I had to start with my song because my mantra today is give me your strength, Jesus, and just breathe. And so, just know. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to sing. Hang on.
Dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. For giving to the Lord, I am a life that is changed. Thank you giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a light that was changed. For giving to the Lord, I am so glad you came.
One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. That was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
I am so glad you gave. Thank you for what you both mean to my life. Thank you for following the voice of God that led you to this church. As a 13-year-old girl, when I came here, I needed what you had here. It turned my life around, and I'm thankful for you guys for following that path and doing that. I could list the countless times that you've been there in joy and sorrow, and that's something that I'll forever be grateful for. I truly appreciate you, and I've been blessed by your ministry, and I thank you for that. I love you.
And if you ever see any of us giggling or laughing, it's just because I think some of us are laughing to not cry. So don't be offended if we make a joke to each other or something just to distract ourselves. We're going to honor my brother and let him come first. And Sister Dale said that we may be having dinner instead of lunch, so. boy, yeah. Yeah, we are going to have supper.
I cut it back from the usual six to four. Something that came to me while she was singing is the fact that the Bible calls us to be a city set on a hill. And our church, this church, is literally on a hill. And Pastor Stone was the one who lit the fire and has fanned those flames for 27 years. 28. Sorry, there's a little argument that goes on there about exact time there. 28 years. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach or anything like that. But I am a stone, so I can't talk. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And other than my mom and my elder sister, she's a lot older than me, I've been witness to my dad's pastoral career longer than anyone else. I've seen and experienced his faithfulness to God, to those attending his church over the years, even to those who never reciprocated the love of God, or the love that God commands us to show one another. In this verse, it says to be steadfast and immovable. My dad has demonstrated a belief in God's salvation through Jesus Christ, which is sustained so that he has pressed on in his calling and not stopped short in his race. He has remained steadfast and immovable because of the living faith he has in Christ and the hope of the resurrection to new life, and I'm convinced this faith will carry him on in his new journey outside of the pastorship. The scripture says to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. No one can accuse my mom and my dad of not abounding in the work of the Lord. They are always abounding in the work of the Lord. They put their heart and souls into countryside for all of these years. It didn't matter if it was preaching three times a week, organizing worship service, teaching Sunday school, visiting the sick, encouraging the congregation, mowing the church lawn, or even plunging the toilet. Because there are some people who don't seem to know how to do that. They leave it. They've done it all, and they've done it all unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And that's what they've been doing, is serving the Lord Christ. They've been very faithful and have always strived to be godly examples to the church. There's nothing they would ask someone to do that they themselves hadn't already done or wouldn't do again. There's nothing that Dad would preach that he wouldn't also live by example. You remember, think about that though. Sometimes we can get mad at our pastors for preaching something because it steps on our toes and we don't like it. That's called unbelief. That's called being stubborn and obstinate and prideful and not wanting to do what God's word says. And we take it out on the person telling us because we can't get to God and take it out on him. And so you need to remember that whenever it steps on your foot, if it's coming from God's word, you're not disobeying your pastor, you're disobeying God. And they will usually, should, a pastor should always live out what they proclaim. And I believe my dad has done that. They've not only put their hearts and souls into this church, but also a lot of sweat, some blood at times, real, like, blood. And Dad's even given a few broken ribs. Some of y'all may not know, but when we were constructing this church, a lot of it was done by volunteer work. Much of it done by volunteer work by him. And when I say building church, I'm talking about the actual this building. And when he was working back there on some of the rafters of that second story, he slipped, fell, landed on his ribs on the rafters, and hung there with them broken until, did someone help you down or you just fell? You just fell. Pulled yourself back up, and then didn't you cry a lot? You cried, right? You're like, that was one moment he may not have lived out what he preaches, but I wasn't there to know. So the scripture that I read says, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Dad, listen, I'm talking now. So knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is important. You want to know this. Most people go to work every day for the sake of making a living to support their families and prepare for retirement. While that's been one goal that my dad and my mom has had, I know that their primary goal has always been to be found faithful on the day of the Lord and one day hear Christ say, get back in there, tear. In Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter to the joy of your master. This is crazy. It's not a funeral. It's a retirement party. All right. If it was about money, then you could call my dad a fool. Thought dad would be like, amen, bro. You call my dad a fool if it was about money. There have been many occasions of temptation to turn aside and become despondent. There have been many occasions. All right, so that the scriptures even testify to the trials of the faithful, which I believe apply even more to pastors. James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Steadfast under trial, will face trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Page 2. I'm going. It's not as long. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. So they've been steadfast, immovable. Only by faithfully holding fast to the testimony of Scripture that his labor is not in vain and trusting wholly in God could my dad press on. It was God who sustains us all. And glory to God, as my dad was saying, it's all glory to God. Dad has never succumbed to the temptation to grow weary, give up, or not hold fast because his treasure is in heaven. And he's worked as a faithful servant, not as a worker looking for wages. Romans 4:4. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. My parents' labor has not been in vain because their true treasure lies in heaven with Christ. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. While this may be the end of Dad's pastorate here at Countryside, I know he will continue to preach and teach as opportunity arises, and he will always be a godly example to me, my sisters, and his grandchildren. The faithfulness of my parents will continue until the day of the Lord. Dad, Mom, congratulations on your retirement. Still again, what's going on? I hope you enjoy it. And always remember, you may rest from your labor here, but it is nothing compared to the true rest that awaits us all. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Hebrews 4:9-11. I want to say a prayer over my parents, if you don't mind. If you'd bow with me. Father, I thank you for the many wonderful years that you've blessed my mom and dad in pastoring this church and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost. Lord, of helping to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, of giving them hope in Christ, Lord, and not in this world. I pray, Father, that you would bless them in their retirement. Lord, that they would enjoy it. I pray, God, that you would sustain them. Lord, that you would meet all of their needs. And Lord, I pray that you would give them opportunity to continue to minister for you, to be useful servants, Father, until your day when you come and you take us away. I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this church. Father, that it would continue on strong. Lord, that the foundation they've laid for the last 27 years would be built upon by someone else. And Father, you would be glorified in the saints who come out of this church. Lord, I pray that this fire set on this hill would continue to burn brightly. And I pray, Lord, that your faith and your belief in you would continue to burn brightly in their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, Sister Dell is asked to speak next, so she's going to come.
Well, first of all, what a sweet spirit there is in this place. You know, I think the Lord has sealed their departure with his love and His presence today, because that's all I feel today is love. And this is coming from Sister Mickey. And I don't know why she asked me to talk. Y'all know how bashful I am when it comes to talking. Brother Stone didn't say amen. But she says, I came to Countryside. Ronnie, while I'm talking, you can come up here because you're going to help me do something. I came to Countryside Church during a time in my life I was at the end of my ropes and there was nothing for me to hang on to. But the preacher, through the preaching and the love of my pastors, they introduced me to someone who loved me just as I was, and He loved me regardless of my past or even my present. This is when I was introduced to Jesus and I accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. I have hope now. Thank you, Brother and Sister Stone, for you showing me that there is hope and love, and it comes through Jesus Christ. I love you with all my heart. I will never forget what you have done for me. Love, Sister Mickey. Ronnie, come up here. Now. Please. I know that they're expecting me to read a poem. Y'all was just waiting for that, wasn't you? But I don't have a poem today because you can't put into words in a poem what I want to say. I wish I could say that I'd been here in my 40s, but I didn't get here in my 50s, and now I'm starting my 60s, so y'all just kind of added up. But anyway, from the time we started almost 9 years ago, this was me and Ronnie. This is what represents me and Ronnie when we started the Countryside, and it's called a monkey tree, so use the powder on that. It really is called a monkey tree. But after the years that we have came, this is what our life has turned into. And we've been Christians for over 49 years. That's a long time. But after 49 years, I mean, after the 9 years that we've come here, we came from a monkey tree to this. We have grown through your love and your teaching and your standing beside us. Because when we came to this church, we were a broken family. We had lost so much. But you taught us God had so much more to give to us. So we have gone from a monkey tree to true life. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll just start on this end and just work our way down. How about that? And I'll just hold the microphone down here.
So it felt like Dale and Ronnie. It was a few years ago. My husband and I would drive down this road, and I said, one day, if we don't go where we're going, I'm going to go to this church. My husband got sick for about 2 years. And I said, so whenever he was so sick, I would come now and then. And I thought, for 7 years, I've been so blessed to have you as my pastors. And it's been an honor to sit in this church. And I give God the glory.
I won't get up here because Denny did. And I can't let them steal the show. I didn't bring no verses and none of that junk. Because I really ain't a preacher, man. But I just want to say that when we came here 19 years ago, Steph was a little girl, Waylon was a little boy, Walker was still in diapers. And I know y'all didn't like Walker. Everybody wanted to run from the nursery. Who's doing nursery today? Not me. That Crawley kid's in there. But no, seriously, I want to thank Wayne and Pastor for all the years you've gave in our family. And I know if I picked up the phone and called you, you'd come a running just like you would anybody else. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for just being a good man and a good woman. And God love y'all. So do we. And we hope y'all have many, many years of enjoyment in your retirement and come visit us once in a while. God bless y'all.
Hey, you're good, right? Okay. Sister Frame. Oh, that's fine. You don't have to. Okay. Do you want to hold it or do you want to use this? Okay, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Can I talk into this?
Yep.
Can y'all hear me? I don't want to be too loud. And I've asked the Lord to help me not cry. Because this whole family has been my family and my husband's when he was alive. We loved them so much. We came here to this church and I was the one when we moved out here in Stillman Estates. Well, I was the one that would drive up and down the road and see this church, and I kept wanting to come to the church. So I told my husband, I said, we need to go out there to that church. But then Sister Granny Stone, hope it's okay if I call you Granny. And so I met her in the grocery store. Got off work, went to the grocery store. She was checking out groceries. She was telling somebody about the Lord. And I'm going to church. I asked her, I said, where do you go to church? And she told me this church. And I said, I've been wanting to go out there. I've been going by and, you know, feeling like I need to go there. Well, I went to Arkansas one weekend, and my husband was home alone, so he decided he would come. Well, he got to the parking lot, and by all means, everybody that knew James knew that he wasn't a bashful man or shy. But he told me later, said, I went to the parking lot and sat in the parking lot a while, but I didn't go in. And I said, why? And he said, I don't know why, I just didn't go in. And then I come back home. So anyway, then he come one more time. I think maybe he come back that night and come to church. So they, Brother and Sister Stone, came to visit us in 2 or 3 days. And from that was the start. We come to church and we loved it. We found a home. And so we was here, and I can't tell you how many years, because I can't remember everything. Just a few things about Brother Stone and some things he done. I used to be afraid to come to church on Wednesday night when I didn't work in the nursery with Granny here. Well, when we wasn't working back there, well, I'd come straight to church from work, and I'd be late, kind of. But I'd be so tired, and I'd come in, and I'd sit down 2 or 3 seats there, and I'd go off to sleep, and I'd try my best to keep myself from going to sleep, because I just knew that Brother Stone was going to call me out. He was going to say something about, wake up, Sister Ruby, am I putting you to sleep or something? But however, it wouldn't embarrass me, Brother Stone, you know me. So anyway, I just want y'all to know, the people that don't know me, this morning I come home. First time I've been here in a long time. And it was so blessed. I got such a blessing out of Melissa, out of Stephanie. And they all blessed me, but... Okay, where's he at?
He's back there hiding in the background.
You better say something so I know who you are. Call your name out to me anymore. I can't remember. But anyway, these kids have blessed me. They're just like mine. My granddaughter, when she was about the age of Denny, and I said something about Stephanie going home with us after church one Sunday, and she'd go a lot if they'd let her. And so she said, Nanny, she's not your grandkid. I said, well, no, but she's, you know, kind of like my grandkid, and I love her. And she said, I'm the only grandchild you got. You know, she'd just get real jealous. And that was before she became a teenager. But anyway, it's just been such a pleasure to be in this church and have them as my pastor. If I needed them, I could call them or I could come and talk to them and tell them whatever I felt like saying. You know, I knew that it wasn't going to go any further. If I had something, you know, that I really wanted to discuss with somebody and didn't want somebody to know about it, well, I'd talk to Brother Stone. He'd come to Beauty Shop and got haircuts. And so he would, it was usually early in the morning, so I could talk to him or say things. But if I ever needed him when James was sick, I'd call him to pray, and he'd say, I'm coming over. I'm coming to take y'all to the hospital. And he was always there for me. And I appreciate that. You can't have a better pastor than that. And I've had pastors before that, and I had good ones, and I've had pastors since then. But I have to stand here and say that this is one man and woman that I dearly, dearly loved, and their family, and they've been just like mine. And this church was just my home, and the people that have been here all this time that I knew back in the old days. And I loved them all, and I sure miss, I see there, you know, so many of them's gone on to be with the Lord, and I'm happy for them, but I miss them. I miss their voices and they're saying hello and all that kind of stuff. I think about everybody a lot. So I'm going to get down so somebody else can talk and we can eat lunch. I love everybody. I don't know some of y'all, but I sure love y'all.
I wish I could still climb the steps like she does, but apparently I can't. No. I want to say I'm thankful. I told Wellene I wasn't going to say anything, but I am. But I'm just thankful that I was privileged to worship with Dennis and Wellene and my family. I'm thankful that God gave me that privilege, and I'm thankful that God let Roy and I raise children that would follow God, that would go in God's plan and do what he wanted them to do. I'm happy for y'all, and I believe God's going to really take you to higher heights and deeper depths. And I thank God for the compassion that Wellene, she showed so much compassion to her folks, and I said, thank God I've got her on my side when I need her. I just love the Lord, and I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for Missy. Missy means a lot to me. No.
So thankful for Brother and Sister Stone. They've just been a great blessing to me, and I've been here a little over 12 years. My husband will be gone 13 years in January. And when I came here, I was a broken person. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And Brother Stone asked me, he said, will you pray about teaching the adult class? And I thought, there's no way. But I went home and I started praying about it. And God just dealt with me to teach the adult class, and it saved my life. I really don't think I would have lasted because I didn't want to live. And when I started teaching, I loved the adult class. We've lost, like Sister Frame said, we've lost several. But I love the adult class, and they help me. I don't just get up and teach a class. They teach me. And so I'm so thankful, Brother Stone, that you obeyed the Lord and you asked me to teach. And I feel so inadequate in anything I do. But thank God they put me to doing things, to singing again and just working for the Lord. And it has just prolonged my life. And I thank God for it. And just, I can think of funny things. You know, when I was cleaning one day and I went out and dumped the trash, there was baby coons in the dumpster, and I said, "Oh, Brother Stone, they can't die." And I said, "Will you please do something?" And he went and got a limb and put in there so them coons could climb out. I'll never forget that because I couldn't stand for those coons to die. And so just things like that. One day I was back there cleaning, and a great, great big old centipede was in there, and I screamed, "Brother Stone, come running and cut the centipede out." And you know, there's just so many things I think of, you know, when I think of them, they've just been such a blessing to me. And I think of when my daddy died, I was going to drive, you know, to go to his funeral. They took me down there to family. They just loaded me up and took me, and they didn't have to drive. That's quite a ways to Locust Grove, and they drove me down there, and just things like that. I can name so many things that they've done and been to me and for me, and just put me to work. That's the main thing. You know, if you're lonely and you're hurting, get busy. Don't be lazy. Get busy for the Lord. And I'm so thankful for them. What a blessing they are. I love them so much.
Come up here just because if I hold the mic, it's probably going to come flying out of my hand. I don't like talking in front of people, and I had no plans whatsoever of saying anything. I feel like I've said everything I wanted to say to him, but like a lot of you, I've known a lot of loss in my life, and I also know that I didn't get to say everything that I ever wanted to say to those people that I lost. I don't want to miss that opportunity. I know this isn't a funeral or not that kind of going away, but I want you guys to know what you mean to me. And listen to everybody else, it sounds like God sent a lot of broken people here. And I was very broken. I was lonely despite having family. I was lost. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know where to turn. And I showed up here because my nephews got baptized, and that was it. You know, I mean, God sent me here for a reason. And a while back, I was on my way to work, and I sent the text to Pastor and Sister Stone and some other people, but I made it actually to Tecumseh Middle School before I realized I was going in the completely wrong direction. I was headed to church and not to my job, which my boss wouldn't have been very happy about, so I turned around and had sent him a text, but that meant something to me. That showed me that this place had became a home to me. It became second nature when I was driving. It was just a destination that I headed in. I didn't think twice about it. I didn't think about the route or which way I was going. It was just familiar, and I believe God sent me here for that very reason. I probably had only came two services before. I was sharing with Sister Stone, and she was giving me advice about how to be a good mom and spiritual advice about how to handle situations with my own girls, and I just couldn't thank them enough. They took a heart that was shattered, and through their spiritual guidance and their love and their compassion, they helped my heart mend. And it sounds like God sent a lot of people who were in need of that here. So it just goes to show how very special you two are and this church is. And I know this day is about them, but I'm going to say a little bit about the Rice family too, because we're going to miss them. And they've taught my girls. I've watched Stephen play with my girls, my youngest. She just finds so much amusement in you. Melissa has taught. Stephen's taught my oldest. And precious little Haley and even Lola, just they took in my daughter when she was lonely and didn't feel like she had very many friends. And they accepted her for everything that she was. And they've become some of her very dearest friends. And I know that that friendship won't end, but we'll miss you guys too. Y'all have been such a blessing. I think we've been here probably the least of everybody and every family here, but in those amount of years, 3 years, I think, you guys have become family to us, and we just love you so much.
I don't have a clue what I'm going to say, so Stephanie was actually elbowing me, so I had to get up here. I guess it's been, if I was 11, I've been 19 years, so grew up in this church. I probably knocked out enough sheetrock in this church to, if you don't know about it, it got covered up, so don't worry. You're gone, so somebody else will find it. Broken plenty of stuff. Dad was laughing about Walker, but I think I've made plenty of Sunday school teachers probably cry. But honestly, thank everybody that was here that taught me Sunday school. Denny, youth, Melissa. Started out here, I was pretty crazy, so my daughter's actually been pretty good today, so, but she can be pretty wild, and I probably have her beat most of the days that I was here. But far as this church and Pastor and Willeen, y'all set the foundation in my life, and then everybody else here off of y'all's knowledge and your wisdom and your leadership, this church was built, which in not just preaching in the pulpit, but everything that goes on in this church starts with the leader. And so thank y'all. Church is not just preaching, but also leading and helping the sick and giving wisdom. And as everybody that has almost came up here, the counseling that was given, and you know, evangelists can come in and give a great message, but a preacher can lead. And so, thank you. I was actually going to be funny, so I don't know. But Willeen, one last thing. Thank you. You gave me a great wife. And but honestly, y'all's teaching, she's a great mother, great wife. Thank you. I started dating Stephanie, I don't know, 12, 10? How old was I? I was 15. So anyways, you know, I guess preacher's daughter, pastor can be a little intimidating. First time I went and ate with all the stones, I realized that if you get a whole bunch of stones together, it's like getting a whole bunch of, like, pit bulls in the same room. And so you realize they're just like everybody else. So it's actually quite entertaining to go over there. Cause as you see, they're all very strong willed, and they will argue about blue being blue three different times. And it's actually pretty fun. And, but that stubbornness is, you know, what I need half the time, because as my mom, she's got the fire of a redhead. It's what I need to get slapped into place most of the time. And so, but seriously, thank y'all. Thank the church for everything y'all have given us. We've taken everything we've learned here, and we're giving it other places. And so, you know, what was taught here was moved on, and a lot of churches don't give what this church has given, and so thank you.
A lot of things, but it's not been a pit bull. It's amazing y'all kept them around for 28 years. I do appreciate all the words, and I know my parents do too, that have been spoken. And it's kind of like Waylon pointed out, it's the reoccurring theme is what is so interesting. And I think oftentimes we don't understand, and even for each one of us, I know it's about them today, but something we should all take away is that we don't know the impact we're making on people's lives. I'm sure they've heard things today, and I've heard things about my parents that maybe I didn't even realize and I didn't know, and you're making those same impacts. If you will allow the Lord to use you and minister to people, you can make those same kind of life-changing impacts on people that you've heard talk about the pastors today. Those things aren't limited to pastors. They're not the only ones who can minister to others, not the only ones who can sow into people, into broken people, into people who need godly word. That is for all of us. We all have a ministry, and I know it's different as a pastor, but we can all make that same type of impact if we are willing and give of ourselves, and we'll just yield ourselves to the Lord. And that's all they've done. They've just been yielded vessels. The same as we can be, they have been just yielded vessels to the Lord. And I remember, I verified with them, but there are so many people talk about being broken, and that was a prophecy over this church, is that the broken would come here and they would be healed. And to hear those testimonies, sometimes we don't know that God's word, that his prophecies have been fulfilled. Sometimes it's because we don't share. Shame on us for not sharing those things, for not telling those things. Because we encourage others when we hear that. We encourage the ministry. We encourage people in their gifts and their callings when we say, hey, you know what? I was broken. And we don't be ashamed of that, but to say, you know what? Here's where I was and here's where I am because somebody sowed into me. Someone cared about me. And so share that. Tell people. Let them know what God can do and what he will do. And I think that's awesome that it's just prophecy fulfilled over this church and over their ministry. And I kind of like Tom, I didn't write up a bunch of scriptures like my brother, and I appreciate what he had to say. But there were four words that I wanted to share about our pastors. And one was faithful, honest, giving, and servant. Sorry, I've done well good all day long. Those are just a few of the words that I could use to describe my parents and my pastors for the past 28 years. They have been faithful to the calling. Although it has been hard, beyond hard at times, they were faithful. When they wanted to quit, they were faithful. When others despised and turned away from them, they remained faithful. Faithful to God and to his people. They have been honest in their dealings. They never had to hide anything because they were trustworthy and they were true. They are giving. I've watched my parents, even before they were in the ministry, give until there was nothing left to give. They sacrificially gave. They gave when there wasn't anything to give. They borrowed to give. Their giving and teaching on giving brought conflict. But they know the value of giving, so they didn't stop giving or teaching it. My pastors are servants. They have filled the need in every area of the church at one time or another. They have served when they were underappreciated. They have served when everyone liked them, and it seemed everyone didn't like them. They have served the children, they've served the youth, and they've served the elders. They have served without discrimination. They have served because they are called. They have done well. They have taught me so much about being a follower of Christ. Their legacy will live on forever, I believe, in the lives of those they have touched. The things they have taught, we pass down for generations. So thank you. I will do my best to continue in your teachings. What I've heard and seen in you as my example, and I know that the God of peace will be with all of us. And now our pastors wanted to say a few words.
Well, I figured that I would better write what I wanted to say, because a lot of times there's things that you think later that should have said and didn't do it at the time, and there's lots of stuff besides what I'm going to share with you now that can be said, but there's time won't allow all of it. 28 years is a long time to condense down into just not quite one sheet. You get that? Not two or three or four. Okay, here we go. 28 years ago, we brought our three children here with the faith and expectation that God had led us to begin a work here. We had absolutely no pastoral experience, which some of you that came here early on, you could certainly attest to that we had no pastoral experience. It was just on-the-job training. But we were willing to minister to anyone who God would send. And like Pastor said earlier, that our beginnings were very humble. We had just the fellowship hall was the church, and just with the concrete floor, just, you know, the folding chairs. And we had replaced the carpet in our living room before we came out here. And so we had saved that carpet. And so we brought it up here because the cement was so cold that our feet would just freeze. And this was in the winter when we started, so we rolled that carpet out in the middle of that cement floor, and then we put those folding chairs on it so that we could have a little bit of heat, if that was possible. So anyway, that was where it all began. But as you can see here, that God has truly smiled on us. We have a beautiful facility here that you can be proud of. And that I hope and trust that the next pastors will be able to fill to overflowing. And I know that there's been people who have said that they have seen this church full. And Sister Carol said that she had seen this church full. And I guess it wasn't meant for us to see it full. But we got it going here. And so we'll still have a hand in it. But then anyway, it was just our family. But God did send precious families to us to minister to, and we were privileged to lead many to Christ for the first time through these years. Our kids learned how to minister as well by teaching and singing, and of course, Denny learning to be such an awesome drummer, and I've missed his drumming. There have been many ups and downs, victories and defeats through these 28 years. Our children have witnessed and been subjected to the worst in people, but it was also all tempered with the best in people. Our family all learned that in ministry you put yourself out there and you're all in whether anyone else is or not. But I want to give honor to God for keeping my children from becoming bitter because of some of our experiences, because they could have. Because of God, our children have grown and flourished in their faith and commitment to the Lord. They are productive servants of Christ and are teaching their children to do so. And I couldn't be a more proud mama. Through the years, we've done many things to minister and grow the church. We have many happy, fulfilling memories of all the vacation Bible schools and the kids. And y'all will have to explain to the next pastors why we have all that cardboard up there we put a lot of sweat equity and work into all of the props for our vacation Bible schools, and it was a pleasure to minister to no telling how many kids. We had outreaches, Sunday school drives, food pantry, revivals, women's ministries, Christmas plays, fellowships. We've laughed together and grown closer to each other. In our Valentine banquets, our fall fun days, Christmas parties, women's retreats, and other outings. And we have a couple of guys here that can really doll up and make a couple of nice-looking women who shall stay unnamed. You have welcomed us into your lives, and we fell in love with you. We truly are family. We have laughed together, and we've cried together. We have loved and supported you, and you've had to say goodbye to loved ones, and you've done the same for us. We have experienced your lives with you, and our bond will never be broken. We, you know, we've married, and we've buried, and we've dedicated babies. We've baptized. We've done everything together. God has moved in mighty ways in our services, and each individual has grown as much in God as you've desired. The seeds we have sown in faith will continue to produce in your lives and in this church. I believe that we have laid a good foundation, and we look forward to what God still has planned for Countryside. I know that our labor has not been in vain. Thank you with all my heart for how kind and loving you have been to our family. And thank you for all the beautiful words that you've said today. And after 28 years, I've never got comfortable with having praise given to me. I don't feel like I deserve it at all. You have supported us, prayed for us, loved us, and accepted us for who we are. And we still believe that this is one of the greatest churches in America.
I have no prepared remarks. Just want to say thank you for a great run and for being part of this church. Support, like my wife said, supporting us and being there for us. It's been a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this capacity for this number of years at this church. God put it in my heart to come here with opposition that I came. But just a brief, I won't give you very much history, but when I first started the church, I was working working for Eureka Water Company, Ozarka Water, if some of you know who that is, and made a decent living, but it's hard work. And God dealt with me. I'd drive by here, and God would deal with me about opening the church up here. And I was like, Lord, I'm not ready. And finally told my wife I was going to do it. I feel like it's God. And she said, well, we don't have any money. And we didn't have any extra money. We just didn't have it to pay the rent, utilities, and everything you'd need to do to start. And she put a challenge out to me. Well, if it's God's will, he'll provide the money. I said, he sure will, because it's God's will. Do you know a lady I didn't even know, some people I didn't even know, I visited with them, and they gave us about $300. I had an uncle that had passed away, and his widow had never paid her tithe, his last tithe, and it was $300 or $400, and she called me and said, your uncle would be proud that you're starting that church. I want to give you his last tithe, start the church. So I went and picked that up. Somebody else called and said, I hear you're starting a church. I've got some money for you. My wife said, if God will give you X amount, money we need, about $1,000, $1,000 I think it was. Said, if it's God, he'll provide all that money by this particular day. Within 1 week, she gave me a week's, wife gave me a week's notice. It ain't God. It ain't going to happen. I said, it is God, and it will happen. Within 1 week's time, I had $1,000, exactly $1,000 in my hand to start the church, to do what we need to do, to make us a sign and advertise and rent the building, all that, everything we needed, pay the utilities, get started. We had the money in our hand, so we knew it was God. You know what she did? I still ain't going to help you. I rented this building, paid the utilities, come up here 2 or 3 weeks in a row cleaning it up by myself because it was a pit. Mice droppings everywhere and all kinds of stuff. And finally, about 2 weeks or so before we was going to start, she said, well, I guess I'll help you. I was up here every night working on this church and getting it cleaned up and trying to get prepared to open the church up. And that's just how God moved, and he softened her heart and everything else. Anyway, God bless you and thank you. I could go on and on and on, and I know it's already been two. I've been here quite a while, and it's almost 1 o'clock, and I'm surprised some of you hadn't fainted from starvation. But I do want to say this. I am grateful. When I saw Dale bring these plants in today, I thought she was going to bring them to give to us. And I'm so grateful there's only an illustration. No. Well, anyway, praise the Lord for all those gifts, the bountiful gifts of God. And it's been a blessing to see you kids. Your kids, a lot of you people have grown up. Sister Christina and her has grown up in this church. Robbie's grown up in this church. My son and my daughters grew up in this church. And is Arlinda grew up in this church. And then now Christina's kids are all but grown up in the church. And it's been a privilege to be your pastor and love you like our own. And thank you very much for your support over the last few years. But I really believe this is the will of God. I want to just throw that out there again. I really believe this is the will of God. He's given us peace through this whole circumstance. Once I finally came to that conclusion that it's what we needed to do, I've had peace about it. I didn't until then. When I finally come to that place, okay, I know this is what God wants, I've had peace. And so, and everybody I've talked to, people outside, my friends, and they've told me, Brother Dennis said, it's God's will for you to step aside at this time. I just know what I feel it in my spirit. And you're doing it at the right time, the right way. There's peace in the church. There's love abounds in this church. And it's just the right time. It's, you know what? God already has a chosen person. The person to take this church has already been picked out. It's just a matter of them coming, visiting with you, you selecting them. But there's already somebody that's going to take this church to the next level, going to build on the foundation. I want to encourage you again. Stay in the boat. Don't jump ship. Hang in there. See what God is going to do at Countryside Pentecostal Church of God. It's going to be a great thing. And who knows, in a few months we might get to come back and my wife will get to play the piano again. Serious. We don't know what the Lord has, but we do have invitations. Just so you'll know, I'm not going to sit on my front porch and growl yet. I have invitations, have several invitations to come preach. Just as soon as I get loose here, I'll start scheduling some places to go. Preachers have already let me know that you're going to take care of my church while I get to take a vacation for a change. And you're going to come fill in for me, and you're going to do interim work for us. And one preacher has asked me to go overseas with him. And a national missions director actually said, when are you ready to go? I'll take you with me. So I've got places, things to do in ministry. Just got to get them all lined out, see what God has. And so I'm glad, aren't you? I'm glad we have a firm foundation, a great church, and a great future in Jesus Christ. Well, would you stand with us? I could talk on, I could drone on and on and on. I could tell you some of the bad stuff if you'd like to hear it, but I don't really want to rehearse it, not right before lunch. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that the steps of a good person are led of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that some many years ago you called us into ministry. You anointed us with the Holy Spirit. You led us to the right place for the right time for that season. And now, Lord, as our seasons change and situations are going to be different, we ask God your blessing not only upon our life, but upon this church especially, that the work that's been founded here, the work that's been grounded in your word will continue, that the church will flourish and grow, that souls will be continue to be saved. There'll be baptisms and dedications and just, Lord, that the church would just be better than it's ever been. Bless, Lord, your people. Bless, Lord, the work that's been done. In Jesus' name, amen.